Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 241, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 241.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in Romans chapter 4, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what said the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is rewarded, not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh his blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision, or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of uncircumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believeth, even God, who quickeneth the death, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believeth in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God, through unbelief, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, and Judge of the heavens and of the earth, it behooves us to humble ourselves before Thee once again in this afternoon hour, as we gather around Thy word of truth. It is before Thee that we will soon stand, each and every one of us, to give an account of all the callings that come unto us in our life, and that not only in the way of providence, but especially in the way of Thy holy word, for which we will give an account before Thee. Every word that has come to our ears and come to our mind and come to our conscience, but which we have not suffered to enter into our heart for good and for profit, then who shall be able to stand guiltless before Thee? Lord, then we gather round Thy word once again in this afternoon hour, and Thou knowest what a veil that is so often upon Thy word for Thy church. And then they have to experience that it must be opened unto them, for they have no entrance therein, except that Thou Thyself makest room for Thy holy word. Oh, that Thou wouldst remember us in this afternoon hour, that Thy words may be found, and that we may eat them, and that it may be to the joy and to the rejoicing of our hearts, that Thy word may be sweeter to us than honey and the honeycomb, could it be for the first time or by renewal in this afternoon hour, and when we have come up even in the way that we have yet been born, so that we have never tasted anything of the sweetness of Thy truth, then there is nothing that has ever drawn us, but it is a religion of form and of custom. And though it be a good custom, we shall die with it, and it shall testify against us in that great day of days. Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou Thyself would make it different in this afternoon hour, that Thou may deliver us from all our sin and all our transgression. Thou knowest that we lay upon a bed that is too short, and we attempt to cover ourselves with a covering that is too narrow. For we have heard it in these moments out of Thy holy word, that to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But if that be a debt that we shall live and die with, then we shall go to eternity with that debt. Lord, then it is so necessary that we be taken out of that old covenant, a covenant which is has crumbled at its very foundations, and that we be built upon a solid rock, O thou dost show it unto us in thy holy word, and there is in us nothing but enmity against thee and thy only begotten Son. O, we beseech thee, Lord, that in this afternoon hour that thou would make it right between thee and our soul, and that thou wouldst thyself come and begin when thou hast never yet begun. And could it please thee to instruct thy children further in thy own truth? Wilt thou supply for all the needy ones, all the afflicted and all the sick ones, and all that suffered tribulations in this life? Thou knowest where that they are, whether it be of the body or of the mind, or in the circumstances of this life. For it is through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And then it is in all those tribulations, and that it is necessary that we be made more spiritually minded, that our treasure may be set in heaven, when we may feel the vanity of all this life, and that it is passing away, and that it is through those tribulations and those trials that thou wilt bring a person in the dust of self-abasement before thee, and to acknowledge that he is undeserving of the least of all thy notice and attention. O Lord, then we beseech thee that thou wouldst work through in the life of young and old, and that all that is transpiring in this world and also within our hearts may and never testify against us in that great day of days. Remember thou the denomination in which we may be members. Lord, thou knowest the truth that thou hast preserved for us and for our children, and how that Satan does seek the hearts of our youth in a special way, with all the devices of the prince of darkness that they are not able to stand against in their own strength. Oh, we beseech thee that thou would put a wall and a fence about our children and about our youth and about us also, O Lord. Give us wisdom and faithfulness in the bringing up of our children. Wilt thou remember them in these weeks when there is no school, that thou would watch over and protect each and every one of them, and be with those that do recover from operations and from accidents and sicknesses, and be with widows, widowers, and orphans. Remember all thy truly sent servants, also the student who speaks an edifying word in the midst of the congregations in these weeks. Oh, we beseech thee that he may feel that underneath are thine everlasting arms, and that he with we also may be instructed each time from above, and that thou may look upon us as nations and as peoples who have left thy word of truth. Draw us again, O Lord. Turn us again, and deal not with us according to our many sins. Wilt thou look upon all that need thee in special ways? Wilt thou be with us also in this afternoon hour? We are gathered around thy word of truth for a little while. Oh, we beseech thee, and thou alone art able to give the blessing. Oh, we beseech thee for thy presence and for thy nearness. A little opening, a little strength for our body, a little clarity of our minds to bring and to receive thy word, a little shutting out of all the world and all that can hinder. And could it be that there may be a word from heaven that may be prepared by thee for our souls in this afternoon hour? Do it, Lord, not for anything that can be found in us, for thou knowest the heart and the life of each one of us. But thy mercies, they do endure forever. O Lord, then take reasons out of thyself to look upon us and to remember us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalm 112, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Withhold not thou thy grace from me. O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, and thy truth be still my stay. And what follows in 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 112. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve a temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way that we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? We heard it several weeks ago already. Do you remember, congregation? Maybe some will say, yes, I can recall it. I can remember. But is there more than a mere remembrance? Has that question also become your own question? Is there no way by which we may escape this punishment and again be received into favor? Because if we can only remember, and it has never become our own, and then in that great day of days, and then we will find that we have not escaped that awful punishment. Is there no way? And what is the answer? God will have His justice satisfied. You say that is hard. That is harsh. We are not that way today. No, today we are much more loving. We say that is a man whose wound that is open. That is a man whose wound that must now be bound up. And so then we are quickly applying that balm. But congregation, what is happening to a man who has a wound? And then there is an infection yet in that wound. And that wound that is now bound up, that is only to the death, to the hurt of that victim, then you say that wound that needs to be probed, that is the painful part, boys and girls. And maybe when your mother or when the doctor, they will begin to probe that wound, and then they are looking for the signs of that infection, that they may disinfect that wound first before that wound is bound up. Then you say, oh no, that is so very painful. Do not do that. And that is so also in a spiritual way. And then we do not want that wound to be probed. And yet there is something. There is something in that new life that desires that the Lord would go on in it, because David, he says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. But how is it now? When we look in the life of that Canaanitish woman, how has the Lord dealt with that woman? Then we read, He answered her, not a word. Is that so in your life also, congregation? Do you cry to the Lord? And must you say in all your crying, as that woman was crying after the Lord, that the Lord, that He answers me, not a word, no word from heaven for my soul? That was not the end of it for that woman. No, we read that the Lord Jesus is speaking. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thus it does not become better for that woman when the Lord is speaking, but it becomes even worse. Then she is placed on the outside. And then the Lord is speaking again, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Or we would say, how can the Lord be so hard unto this woman? But what is the fruit of it? Then we see that woman, she is brought forth as gold tried in the fire that is the work of the Lord Himself, so that the Lord says, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Does the Lord take too long in your life? See you nothing yet of that blessed mediator? Is it still so dark? Do you say, O Lord, how long? Do you water your couch with your tears? Do you know what Elihu said to Job? He said, I desire that Job may be tried unto the end. Why? Because that was good for Job. Because then Job, he would receive that full, that complete, and that blessed comfort from the Lord. God will have his justice satisfied. And therefore, we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. And where do we go first? We go to ourselves. We heard it. We go into the workhouse. And where does that end? If it is the work of the Lord, it doesn't end up good. How does it go in your life? Because we have heard that also. That way that needs to be cut off. Why? Because I daily increase my debt. Do you daily increase your debt? Congregation, do we come ever to the house of the Lord with a need? We heard it this morning. Two things that we need to know, that are experienced, that is, in the first place, the need. In the first place, the need. But then in the second place, that we are bound and that we are unable to fulfill that need. It is a blessing if it does not go well. Because that is the only way that we shall ever begin to look for another. Lord's Day 5. Lord's Day 5, questions 14 and 15. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Answer, for one who is very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one who is also very God. So far, our Lord's Day. And we write under these words the soul-saving juncture. First, the last hope outside of the mediator slain. Second, the first thoughts of the mediator born. The soul-saving juncture, the last hope outside of the mediator slain. Second, the first thoughts of the mediator born. What a dangerous thing it was, congregation, for Rahab for Rahab to hide the Israelitish spies. She did it at the risk of her life. Yet she did it. How is that possible? Our children know that it says in God's word that she did this deed by faith. Christ is the special object of true saving faith. He is not the first object. He is not the only object. But Christ is the special object of true saving faith, whereby the soul is given to experience something of salvation. By nature, a man, he is standing in a broken covenant, that is a covenant of works, that is that covenant wherein you and I have been born into this world. That is an old covenant, but we need to be brought into a new covenant. We need to be brought into the covenant of grace. And how is a person brought into the covenant of grace? And how does a man receive anything in the covenant of grace? Well, we have heard it out of the Word of God. Then it is not by works, but it is by grace. It is through faith. But in order to do this, that a man, he may be given to receive something out of that covenant of grace, then his last hope in that covenant of works has to be cut off. For Rahab to hide those spies, then her last hope, then her last confidence, then her last trusting in the strength of her own nation had to come to a complete end. That was a very important, that was a very decisive moment in her life. A decisive moment that did not take place in the deed that she performed. That was only a matter of a testimony of what was living in her heart. That was the fruit of it. But there was something that has taken place before already within her heart. And in that heart of Rahab, there was at one moment a forsaking. A forsaking of her nation. And a going over to a hoping upon that God of Israel. That was no light matter. No, that was at the risk of her life. And you can imagine that there were many fears in her heart. Naturally, why? Because you say, well, she is still in that nation. She is still in Jericho, and she is still subject unto all the laws of that nation. And the laws of that nation, when she has in her heart, she has forsaken that nation, the laws of that nation, they cut her off. They were testifying against her. But we see that her hope that she was given to place in that God of Israel, that was not put to shame. It is not a light. It is not an easy matter for a soul to forsake that old covenant. We heard of it. A man does not just do that. A man does not just make a choice for this. No, we see that that old covenant that has to be stripped away from a person, it is the foundations of that old covenant that need to be dissolved under the feet of a man because we are cleaving unto this covenant. There are many fears. Fears to forsake that old covenant. Why? Because man, he is cleaving unto that covenant for the sake of his own life. To forsake that covenant is a matter of life and of death, because that is the only way of life that we know by nature. And Satan, he has said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But what does Christ say? He says, he that will save his life shall lose it. But he that shall lose his life for my sake, the same even shall save it. That is in a new covenant. Because Christ, he does not exist in that old covenant. There is in that old covenant no need for a mediator. Thus we say the soul-saving juncture. Oh, that forsaking of that old and the casting of that soul into and onto that new. Maybe you have heard this question in our Lord's day with a little bit of disappointment. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? You say it is asking now for a mere creature. You say we have heard that full satisfaction that has to be made either by ourselves or it has to be made by another. And we have heard what man is doing. He is trying to make that satisfaction by himself. And we have heard that legalistic way that has to be cut off out of the heart of a man. And now you say, I thought we were going to begin to hear now in this afternoon about another. I thought this afternoon we were going to begin to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we hear another question. First, and that question that is asking after a mere creature. So we still are not there. You say, it takes so long. Who is the cause? Who is the cause that it takes so long? Is that the Lord? Or is it because that there is an infection that is still in that wound? That the great heavenly physician, that in his wisdom, that he says it is not yet time to bind up that wound. But he says, turn thou yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations, that a man may know what is living within his own heart, and that it may be rooted out of him, everything, root and branch, and enmity. And enmity is living in our heart. An enmity against God, an enmity against his only begotten Son, ever since our fall. The last time we heard, how that a man, he needs to be humbled. How that a man needs to be laid in the dust. How that a man needs to be brought to the end of himself in his own pride. that it cannot come from me, and that he must now begin to look for another. You say, let him run to Christ. Yes, let him. Let him. If it would only be so. But now our fathers show the reality. It is not only what we ought to do, but what is now the reality in the life of a person. What is all living within our wicked heart? What is living within your heart? There is still another avenue. That is what we read here. No, it is not in myself anymore. It is in another. But who is now that other? Well, our fathers say there is another other that is my fellow creature. My fellow creature. And he says this also needs to be taken. This also needs to be ripped out of our heart. That lay man laying at Bethesda. Then that man did not say unto the Lord Jesus, I am not able to come to that water. Did not say that. No, he was far beyond that. He was looking to another. What did he say? He says, I have no man. I have no man. When that water is troubled, to put me into the pool, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. Any other creature. What are our fathers speaking about? They are speaking about another creature. That is another creature beside man, beside mankind. Because here it is being set over against man. Any other creature for the sin that man hath committed. Thus, what are the possibilities of other creatures? What other creatures exist, boys and girls, besides a man? Say, there are two. There are the animals. There are the creatures. And there are the angels. They are also other creatures. We know in the Old Testament that many animals, they have been slain for the sin of man. You say that was a representation. That was a symbol. And that is right. But what did Paul write to the Hebrews? That is to the Jewish nation. That is to his own brethren, the beloved, for the Father's sake. What did he write to them? He said, the blood of bulls and of goats cannot take away sin. Why did he write that to them? You say, did they not know this? Well, certainly they knew. But that is the foolishness of man. The world over, knowing nothing of Christ, knowing nothing of that symbolism that the Lord has given in the institution of sacrifices in the Old Testament for his people, knowing nothing of all this, the heathens, the world over, bringing sacrifices unto their gods. Wherefore? Because it is in hope of some expiation for sin. God cannot accept an animal in the place of a man. And why not? How is an animal children different from a man? Say an animal has no soul. That is right. How can an animal suffer for a man? He can suffer in his body. He can pay in his body, but he has no soul to suffer. And so the sin that we sin in our soul, do you sin in your soul? Or do you ever think about that, children? Our sin is not only in our deeds, but our sin is in our soul. It is in our mind. It is in our conception. It is in our conscience. It is in our motives, in our desires. Do you ever ask the Lord, open unto me the sin of my soul? Now that is that which an animal is altogether unable to satisfy for. The Jews, they tried to appease the Lord with their animal sacrifices, and they have brought them time after time. But the Lord has rejected them. And the Lord has said to them, and that he was not pleased with these sacrifices. He says, who hath required these things at your hand? Because there is no proportion. No proportion between an animal and the guilt of a human soul. And that was made in the image of God. And as it is with the animals who have no soul, so it is, on the other hand, with the angels who have no body. They are but a spirit. They are altogether a different creature than that man is. And thus it is impossible for God to receive anything from their hand by way of payment. And not only so, but we read here, our fathers say, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Rome looks at the saints, but Moses, he offered himself to God. He said, Lord, blot out my name out of thy book for thy people. And the Lord, he has rejected it. No, Moses, you may be a mediator of intercession for that people, but you are not able to be a mediator of reconciliation. We may pray for one another. We ought to pray for one another. We heard that in this morning. And we can read, James says, the prayer of the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But we cannot satisfy for one another. That is now something altogether different. And that is rejected by the Lord. And our fathers speak here about a creature sustaining the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. A mere creature. And that thought of a mere creature sustaining that eternal wrath of God against sin, where does that come from? That comes from ignorance. It comes from ignorance of that wrath. We do not know it. We do not comprehend it. That our God, we read in God's word, he is a consuming fire. Asaph says, who can stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? We read of the angels, when they are standing before the throne of God, that with two of their wings they are covering their faces, that they are not able, even those holy angels, to endure the brightness of the majesty of that heavenly being. The eternal wrath of God against sin. We read of the very devils, that they are trembling, that they are beseeching the Lord, that they would not be tormented before the time, and that the Lord would not suffer them to go into the deep. Who can weigh His just displeasure? Who can fear Him as He ought? The eternal wrath of God against sin. Oh, that we could preach about it, that the Lord would give us the tongue of an angel, that the Lord would give to us the tongue of Jonathan Edwards, when he may speak about that eternal wrath of God against sin, so that we may pluck you as a brand, as it were, from the burning of that eternal hell fire to which that we are traveling when we are still in that old covenant. Let us sing. 266, 1 and 2. God is King forever. Let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim by all the earth adored. And what follows in 266 stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. congregation, Hosea the prophet, said to the children of Israel, "Return unto the Lord thy God." And he told them to take with them words to plead with the Lord, and to say unto the Lord, "Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, 'Ye are our gods.' Then we leave all our confidences, our self-confidences behind. We have walked, we have run in the wrong way. Vain is the help of men, but our eyes are upon thee." That is not an easy lesson. But if a man, if he will ever in his life be given to take refuge in that blessed mediator, in the Lord Jesus Christ, then everyone, every last hope in that broken covenant that has to be done away, and that is not the work of man. No, that is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Because man, he says, today you must let go. You must let go. A man, congregation, yes, he must let go, but he does not let go. It is not only young people. It is not only what we ought to do, but the reality in the life of a man. How do you find it in your own heart and in your own life? But if now by the Spirit of the Lord, all those foundations, they are taken out from under a man in such a painful way, step by step, so that a man, he has nothing left under him to support him anymore. Then we ask you, you may ask the people of the Lord, what will they find there at that point, at that critical point, at that soul-saving juncture? What will they find there? Do you know what David said? He said, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Oh, who is our father and who is our mother? Do we kill our father? Do we kill our dear mother? No. No, we hold on to them as long as we can. Oh, but when the Lord will take that covenant, that old covenant, our father, our mother, and when he will take that away from us after we have been holding on to them for so long a time, then what happens? Well, there, at that critical point, at that soul-saving juncture, there a man finds that the Lord, he takes him up. That is a great surprise. A great surprise. He had not thought that. He had thought the opposite. He had thought that there he should die. But what does the psalmist say? He says, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." Oh, do you hear the surprise that is living in his heart? "I shall not die. I thought to die. I thought to perish. But I shall not die. But I shall live and declare the works of the Lord." Oh, there is no comparison. There is no comparison of that new covenant unto that old covenant. It is an entirely new covenant. That is a covenant, Paul says, it is a better covenant. That is a covenant that is established, he says, on better promises. But it is not until the last hope in that old covenant is taken away. It is not until that last hope outside of that mediator is slain that the first thoughts of that mediator are born. We struggled with this. What do we call it? We thought we would say that the first hope in that mediator is born, and that is so. But we thought congregation to come even a little lower, because there will be people, they say, I have no hope. Do I hope in him? Or is that truly a hope? We say the first thoughts of that mediator are born. Did we not sing that this morning? O Lord, my Maker, think on me. O the thoughts of the Lord are now the thoughts of a man toward the Lord. Toward that mediator. They are coming there. When the Lord is taking that people up, when their father and mother have forsaken them, that is now the place that we have come to in our beloved catechism. That is a blessed place. And we have called it a soul-saving juncture. Listen to our instructors. It is the next question. It says, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? O congregation, do you hear it? What sort of a mediator, then, and deliverer must we seek for? It is now. It is now, congregation, about to go in a different direction. It is now about to go in a new direction. It is now about to go in a blessed direction. Do you hear it? The back is now turned unto that old way, because it is a hopeless way. It is a way because of the weakness of our flesh, wherein we can never escape that punishment, and whereby we can never be received into favor. The Lord, he has dropped the foundations of that old covenant out of this people. Against all their flesh. Finally, it is done. And that way that is cut off, and that back is turned, and finally, we hear a beautiful question. We hear a question that is so pure. We hear a question that is so delivered. Everything that was behind it, that is now looking in a new way, in a blessed way. We hear a heart that is so humbled that has been made so teachable concerning that new way. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Is that a man that knows it? Does he know it? Say it is just the opposite. There is a man who does not know it. There is a man that is so ignorant. What kind of a man is he? Oh, can you feel it? That fallow ground that has been so completely plowed up, that is furrowed, that has been overturned, and that is ground, that is crying, that is crying for that seed of that word, that is calling, that is begging for instruction. There is room there. There is room there because he does not know it anymore. There is room there for the word. There is room there for the gospel. There is room there for instruction. Oh, what a blessed place. That man, he says, Lord, teach me now. Lead me now. Guide me now. In that new way, what sort of a mediator and deliverer must we then seek for? And such a man, he will receive instruction. He will receive it from the Lord for one who is very man, perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, one who is also very God. O congregation, such a blessed question and such a blessed answer, only for the fact that it is so completely delivered of that which is not able to deliver a man. For one who is very man, no, one, it says, it does not say Christ. Does not say Jesus. No, we do not hear his name yet. That name is not yet revealed. But there is something else. Then it is speaking about him, is it not? Can you not hear that it is speaking about his attributes? Then we read about his righteousness. We read about his power. We read about his manhood. We read about his Godhead. And yet we do not hear his name. And why not? We have said our fathers, they are giving that instruction. Just in that way that the Lord is leading his children. What does Solomon say? Solomon says that my beloved, he is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. When there is a lattice, then we cannot see him. No, we cannot see all of his face. We cannot recognize maybe who he is. But there is something, just something of that face, something of his all-seeing eye, something of a little smile that may be seen by the people. And so it is so often experienced. Then there is not immediately a great clarity. But there is something. Bunyan showed it when he said, do you see something shining? You do not see that wicked gate? Do you see something shining there? and the people they are given through the lattice of the Word to see something shining that is drawing their heart in the reading of the Word, in the preaching of the Word, that the Lord, He opens a little something. Maybe that there is a mediator that they may come to see. But that person that is so hidden, and it seems to them that he is so far away, and yet there is a glimpse. And that little glimpse that is giving to them a little hope. A little hope. That is that distinguishing mark. And they may receive something out of his hand. Very man. Very God. Perfectly righteous. Yet more powerful than all creatures. One who is also very God. That is the beginning of a precious, precious instruction. The soul needs to be instructed. What is now the foundation that was missing in that old covenant? Was missing there. What is now the foundation? The Lord, He starts at the bottom. He has brought that people to the bottom. There the Lord starts at the bottom. And He makes there a foundation upon which He will begin to build. And He says, this is what you lacked before. And this is now what that new covenant that does provide. That we hope to see the Lord willing further. It is the second part of our catechism. Oh, such a blessed part. Such a beautiful part. A blessed instruction in that mediator and in that new covenant, that covenant of free and sovereign grace. Congregation, we say it is a soul-saving juncture, so necessary that we are brought to this place where the last hope outside of that mediator is slain. Is that ever slain? And where the first thoughts of that blessed mediator are born. You go home, take your pilgrim's progress. Go to that place where evangelist meets him at Mount Sinai. Because that is now the place that our fathers are describing in this Lord's Day. In this Lord's Day. There that man standing at that mount. And all the requirements of that old covenant. They make him to fear that it is lost. 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 Did the Lord ever bring you in the place of that man and take away those foundations from that old covenant? Daily increasing our debt, and then nothing in myself, nothing in any other creature here in this world. Or even in the heavens above, no one, no one. Oh, the bottom, fallen out of that broken covenant because of the weakness of our flesh. Oh, that the Lord may give their thoughts. There may be one thought that evangelist. He came and he pointed him again. He said, you do not belong here. You do not belong here. That law that is for the knowledge of your sin, but you cannot be saved by it. No, if you will be delivered from your burden. And he pointed him again. Oh, in the name of the triune God, we may point you once again, congregation, unto that wicked gate. And may such a people, may they be given to venture there, to venture at that gate, when there is no more bottom and no more foundation in that old covenant. But go with a Rahab, a hope that Lord God of Israel, and to enter, to venture with an Esther, saying, if I perish, I perish. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou remember us? Wilt thou think upon us? Wilt thou strip us? Wilt thou work through? And wilt thou try us to the end? And dissolve from under our feet that foundation that will not stand in the day of days. Do this, and thou shalt live. Lord, it is our own fault. It is our weakness through our flesh, because of our own sin. We beseech thee, O plant in us, plant us upon that new foundation, that only hope that is to stand in that great day of days, and that only comfort in life and in death. Bring us safely to our places. Bless thy word. Forgive our sins. May acknowledge thee that thou hast brought us through. Humble us under all thy great goodness. May this week also, may we be kept from sin and evil, danger and harm by thee, and watch over each one for good, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 387, 3 through 6. All unprotected, lo, I stand, no friendly guardian at my hand, no place of flight or refuge near, and none to whom my soul is dear. 3, 4, 5, and 6 of 387. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.